looking at things that we thank God for. We started off by thanking God for victory, thanking Him because we have victory in Christ. And then we talked about thanking God for His purpose, that God has a purpose for everything. We don't always understand what that purpose is. But now we're thanking God for His presence, thanking God for His presence. Let us pray. Father, thank You again for Your wonderful grace and Your awesome love. Pray that You would guide us, Lord, and help us to be faithful as we deliver Your word. Help us to be faithful as we live Your word. And Lord, doing those things that are pleasing in Your sight. We love You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for this time of fellowship and worship. God, may we take advantage of it that we might draw closer to Thee. All these blessings we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the church said, amen. Giving of thanks should not be something that we take for granted. And to help us to give thanks, we've got to have things that we can focus on. That song that we just sung, Count Your Many Blessings, helps us to focus on God and the things that the Lord has done for us. He's done some amazing things. And perhaps we haven't taken time to realize that. But when you stop and you think about what the Lord does and what God means to you, then we can rejoice even more. But something that I've learned is that every believer needs to be aware of God's presence. Now, there are people that believe that God is somewhere on a distant planet, that the Lord is out there somewhere in outer space, but when we call Him, He shows up in a flash, and He can help us with our problems. Well, that's not the definition that the Bible gives us about this amazing God. This is the God that covenanted with Israel and told them, I'm going to go with you on your journey. I will be your God and you will be my people. This is the God that said, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. God delivered them, but He also went with them. Now, don't get me wrong. God will come at times of need and He will be there to deliver us. But it's not a thing where He has to show up coming from someplace. God is right there. The Lord is present in our lives. And it takes an adjustment in our thinking. It takes an awareness of the presence of God in order for us to realize that. Now, why is it that we're not aware and that we're not accustomed to God's presence? We get distracted. We get distracted. If you be honest, as I am, sometimes our mind is not on God. Sometimes we don't reflect on the goodness of the Lord because we've got other things going on. But when we think about the goodness of God, when we think about all that He's done for us, then we are aware that God is there. Do we have a witness? You know, it's a thing that David wrote in the psalm. He said, in Your presence, in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. And in His right hand, not at His right hand, but in His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I know you may not think about it this way, but you're in the hand of God. Mahalia Jackson said it best. He's got the whole world in His hand. Then she would break it down. He's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister, in His hands. We are in God's hands. A contemporary Christian group called the Newsboys wrote some lyrics, or they sung some lyrics to a song that says, in the hands of God, we will fall. Rest for the restless and the weary, hope for the sinner. In the hands of God, we stand tall. Hands that are mighty to deliver, giving us freedom. So if you don't get anything else, what I want you to recognize is that you are in the hands of God. If you're trusting in the Lord, and really the sinner is in God's hands, but he doesn't walk in fellowship with God because he has to rely on God's mercy. You see what I'm saying? God causes the sun to rise on the just as well as the unjust. Now, but the sinner does not have eternal joy. They might have the temporary blessings of God, but they don't have the eternal things that you and I have as believers. So we have to reflect on that. The 17th century monk by the name of Brother Lawrence wrote a work called Practicing the Presence of God. Practicing the Presence of God. And he came to faith and believed in Christ at an early age, and he lived a number of years, but he talked about finding God in everything that you do. Discovering God in everything you do. He said, let us think often that our only business in life is to please God. Why else are you here? It's not to get a lot of things. It is to please and to glorify and honor God. That's why you're here. And as soon as you discover that, you find out that God is really with you in your activities. And what Brother Lawrence would do, he would practice God's presence, whether he was working, whether he was eating. He learned that everything came from God, and to God be the glory for all the wonderful things that he has done. Practicing the presence of God. Anything else, he says, is just vanity. It's chasing after the wind. You've got a lot of people today that they're trying to pursue happiness. You know, they've read the preamble of the Constitution, and they said, now what I want to do in this country, I want to pursue happiness. Now the Constitution says that you have these inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit. Didn't say we're going to give it to you. It said that you would pursue it. And so the businessman is trying to pursue deals that can help him to find this happiness. The drug addict, he's trying to get that next high. People that are living and indulging in sin, they're thinking that the more they indulge, that's going to bring them happiness. But that's not what your Bible and my Bible teaches. It says that in his presence, watch this, is fullness of joy. And at God's right hand, or in God's right hand, there are pleasures. Everybody say pleasures. Y'all mighty quiet on me. I need you to talk back to me. In his presence, there are pleasures forevermore. So how do we pursue God? How do we, as Brother Lawrence said, think about God in everything that we do and in all of our activities of life? That's a good question. Amen? And the first thing that you have to recognize about the presence of God is that he makes his presence available. He makes his presence available. Try making an appointment with a millionaire and see how long it takes you. The thing they're going to ask you, what you want, when you're going to need it, if they let you come into their presence. And here it is, God, here it is, God speaking to us in Christ saying, come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so you don't have to call God up and make an appointment. He's saying, come into my presence, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's this amazing God who owns everything. He's more than a billionaire. God owns everything. The billionaires think he's got it because he got a little bling and he think he's got everything. But he doesn't have the one who controls life. Do I have a witness here? So God has to make his presence available to us. But not only that, you have to understand how to approach God. If you say, I'm going to enter into the presence of God, you've got to understand how to approach God. You just can't come in looking any kind of way or talking any kind of way. You don't just come into God's presence. Yo, what's up, God? I don't think that he would take kindly to that. You have to reverence him. You have to respect him for who he is. He is the holy and almighty God. In the Old Testament, God would show up on the mount, and the mount would glow with the glory of God. And Moses was commanded, tell the people, don't come up here. Don't even allow an animal to graze at the foot of the mountain unless you thrust them through with a dart or kill them with the sword, because this is a holy place. This is a holy place. And somehow or another, our attitude is that God is ordinary. Let me tell you, your ways are not God's ways. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Just because you get a high thought doesn't mean that's the way that God is thinking. Do I have a witness here? You've got to approach him. So what does he say? He said, now, when you come, come humbly, right? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So know that God, listen, you got to know that God is available. You got to know that he's available, but then you got to know how to come before him. And I've learned one of the best ways that you can come before God is come before him with thanksgiving. Thank you, God. So when we talk about thanksgiving, we're talking about you being aware that he is God and you're aware of what he's done for you. As a matter of fact, nobody should have to tell you to worship God, because when you start realizing that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, or do I have a witness in the house? So you automatically approach him humbly with thanksgiving overflowing in your heart. But when you got all of these other streams of worry and doubt and frustrations in life, and then you want to come before God because you're angry at him. Listen, God didn't cause that mess. Amen. And if you want him to help you straighten it out, you ought to just recognize that he is God. Do I have a witness here? So you have to know that he's available, but then you have to understand how to approach God. And then finally, you have to know that your praise and your thanks is always welcome. Amen. God will always welcome you. Anytime you want to say thank you, God, anytime you want to recognize and give him glory, God will always welcome that. And that's why the Bible says in Psalms 100, enter into his presence with thanksgiving, right? And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, because he is God. Matter of fact, a hand clap, go right there. Right there. Yeah, yeah, because he is God. Amen? So we have to think about practicing the presence of God. And when we look at the Psalms, it says to us, when you get into God's presence, here's what you're going to find. Fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. That's what you're going to find in the presence of God. Not anything else. Now, if it were any place else, you would have found it by now. Amen? If it was any place else. Why is it that people that got everything still not happy? Because they don't have the Lord of glory in their life. You can be happy and satisfied with nothing because you know God. Amen? If you don't mind, talk to your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I don't have a whole lot, but I've got God. Yeah, see, when you've got God, you've got something to be thankful for. And the reason why I want you to say that is because confession is good for the soul. So if you confess that and you start thinking about what you just said, then you start realizing, wait a minute, I don't have a whole lot, but I got God. And I don't need everything, I just need God. And when you've got God, you really have all you need. Amen. Another hand clap. Go right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I know it take y'all a while to warm up this morning. That's all right. Cold outside, but warm heart. But let us look at this thing. Let us look at this psalm in particular that we're talking about here, Psalm 16. This is one of the psalms that they call a miktam, M-I-C-H-T-A-M. I guess I pronounced it right. I'm not Jewish, so amen. You can give me a pass grade on that. But a miktam was a musical note, and it's among six of the psalms that David wrote. Now, he was writing about his experiences in life and what the Lord did for him, and he reflected on every time he had a problem and he called on God, God delivered him. As a matter of fact, if you notice in this psalm, it says that, Lord, preserve me, O God, for in you I trust. So he's telling God, I trust in you. But now this psalm shifts from the life of David to someone else. How do you know that? Because he writes about something in the psalm that he's reflecting on God, but he sees something. He said, now, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One. Everybody say Holy One. Now, you just can't be talking about anybody when you're talking about a Holy One. Now, I consider myself a child of God, but I don't call myself Holy One. Are y'all with me? There's only one holy one. As a matter of fact, Peter picked it up in Acts 2, and he was talking about David and this particular psalm. He brings it up. He said, now, David is both dead and buried. And the proof was his tomb was there in Jerusalem. So he said, now, if David was talking about a holy one, he couldn't have been talking about himself, because it said, you will not suffer your holy one to see corruption. And Peter said, I hate to tell you this, but your grandpa David, he saw corruption. Your great king David, he saw corruption. But this holy one went to the grave, but did not stay there. Now, what is he saying in this particular psalm? He's saying that this psalm recognizes the Messiah, the Savior of the world. This particular psalm at this particular point is talking about the Messiah. Now, everybody say Messiah. Now, we call him Christ. Others call him Jesus. Some say he's the Lamb of God. Others say he's the lily of the valley. Some say he's the bright and morning star. We say he's the Son of God who saved us from our sin. Now, what is this talking about? What does this psalm have to do with us? You cannot just go into God's presence on your own. But if you believe in this Messiah, amen, something happens in you so that now you are welcomed into his presence. See, in order, and I know this sounds so simplistic, but before you read verse 11, which is the verse in his presence, fullness of joy, and his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Before you get to verse 11, you got to go to verse 10. That's just the way my elementary school teacher told me. Before you get to 11, when you're counting 9, 10, you got to go to 10. You can't go 9, 11. Amen? You got to go to verse 10. And verse 10 says there's a holy one. Now, the only thing I want you to capture from this is without this holy one, you ain't going to get to God. You can just hang it up. But he did say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I don't have but 5 more minutes, but I just want to tell you that if you're in Christ, Jesus said, I'm the way. People say, I'm going to find joy in life. Young people graduate from high school, graduate from college, and they say, I'm going to find joy in life. Good luck. Because if you don't find Jesus, you're not going to find joy. Now, there's a difference between temporary stuff that make you laugh, and stuff that give you joy. Eros, which is a Greek word, I don't know Greek, but I knew that one. You know, when you say, I'm gonna enjoy me some ice cream will make you feel good for a little while. And then the lactose intolerance will kick in. All right? See, it'll only give you temporary joy, but what we're talking about is pleasures forevermore. While the world is seeking the erotic things, which will sometimes make you neurotic to the point of you become psychotic, you ought to be, instead of you seeking eros, you ought to be seeking theos, which is God. When you seek God, when you say, I believe in this Holy One, that's when God changes your life. And guess what? When you enter into Christ by believing on him, now you are seated in Christ. And because you are seated in Christ, you're also seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. People say, I gotta get into the presence of God. You're already in God's presence if you're in Christ. Amen. Now, you can be aware of it. You know, you can be aware of it. You can start singing. Next thing you know, you recognize the presence of God. But until you are in Christ and recognizing that he brought you out of darkness into his, as a matter of fact, he translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, why did God do that? Because he wanted to love you. Couldn't love you the mess you were. Amen. Could not love you in the shape that you were in. But he put you in Christ. So you believed on him, and now that you're in Christ, God can love you as much as he wants to. You say, well, this world hates me. I don't worry about the world. Long as God loves me, everything gonna be all right. Now the hand clap right there, right there, yeah. So here we go. 3 things I want you to understand about God's presence. First of all, it is the path of life. It is the path of life. Now remember, if you're in Christ, you don't have to find God. He's already found you. But what you do have to do is follow this path that he's laid out for you. It's called God's will. God's will. And I know sometimes we get real spiritual. And what we want to do is we'll pray that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But remember, you're in Christ. And God wants to live out his plan in your life. So while you're over here like Brother Lawrence, you're working on stuff. Man, I hate doing this right here. I hate what I'm working on right here. I hate this part of my life. Well, you're really hating the path that God chose for you. If you would rejoice and be glad, next thing you know, not only does your work become easier, but God actually comes in and joins you. Hello, somebody. Anybody know that God has joined you in some of your storms in life? You never would have made it without him. So he's with you in this path of life. Because let me tell you something. Instead of you thinking that this world is a friendly place, no, it's not. This world is toxic. This world is deadly. But when you're in Christ, you're also in that atmosphere, in that environment where no matter what, you're going to survive. And more than survive, you're going to thrive. Another hand clap right there. Because God says you're walking in his path of life. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. I'm the life. So secondly, this path that we're in, or the presence of God, has fullness of joy. I used to pray, God, if you give me this, I'll be happy. God, if you do this for me, I'll be happy. I've stopped praying that. And here's the reason why. Because even when he gave me those things, they did not make me happy. Why? They ran out. Now, don't get me wrong. I pray now, Lord, help me pay this bill. I'm going to pray. Let's be for real, right? And it's all right to pray, if I'm sick, Lord, give me healing. But listen, you're in a world where folks get sick, right? People say, well, you believe in God, you're never going to get sick. Well, how is it that the apostles died? Matter of fact, Paul said, pray for so-and-so because he's sick and I'll have to leave him at this place because I had to go on with the mission. It happened. I'm not worried about all of the health that I can have. Now, I want to stay healthy, but I know that sooner or later, my body gonna get tired. But guess what? While I got this body down here, another one is being modeled up in, y'all didn't see that. I'm gonna clap my hands on that one, right? But in his presence, in God's presence. Now, here's what I want you to do. Picture yourself being in the middle of a storm, and yet you find the presence of God, and you find that peace of mind. Paul did it when he was on a boat going to Rome, and they were in a storm of their life. And Paul says, take heart, not a soul on the ship is going to lose his life. Not a hair on his head going to be lost. He said, an angel told me that. God, he found the presence of God right in the midst of his storm. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to visit with Alfredo Mondre. And while she's there on that hospital bed, she was rejoicing because of the presence of God. Not knowing what the future is going to hold, but knowing the one who held the future. That, my friend, is finding the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. Then the last thing you have to do, know that there are true pleasures. Everybody say true pleasures. There's a lot of stuff that can, amen, give you temporary pleasure. You ought to know that by now. But it's temporary. It's only when you have set your mind and your goal on pleasing God that you're going to find that pleasure that lasts forever. You ever seen people that no matter what they go through, you look at them and they always got a smile? And you look at them, you say, well, you got problems. Yeah, but I got God. But I know this is going wrong. And you're like, yeah, but I've got God. You don't understand. When you got God, you don't worry about your problem because you know that you got a way maker. You know you got a burden bearer. You know you got a friend who promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. When you know those truths about God's presence, you don't worry about life because you know that in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I'm out of time. I'm not out of sermon. I would tell y'all something else, but it's almost time for Sunday school. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray that you would bless us as believers to give you thanks, to always thank you, always appreciate your presence. You don't have to be with us. And Lord, you make yourself available to us. I pray that we would have that same attitude and be like King David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That eagerness of wanting to be in your presence. Father, that's what we seek after. Let us have that same commitment as Brother Lawrence, discovering God and finding him in everything that we do, that we might practice the presence of God. Bless us now. And Lord, forgive us of all of our sin and help us to be righteous before you. In Jesus' name, and all the believers said, amen. I want to give the invitation, if there be one today, perhaps you've never practiced God's presence and you're saying, well, preacher, I want to get close to God. I want to surrender my life to him. I want to believe in this Holy One, this Messiah called Jesus. You can do that by putting your faith in him. I'm going to ask that we all stand. If you're not a member of a church, we'd love to have you here at Crossroad to be a part of our family. I tell people we're not perfect, but we serve a good God, and he's a perfect God. Amen? So if you're not a part of the church, we ask that you'd come. Is there one today? We're going to ask that we prepare our hearts to give and honor God as we